Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're live now. We've been home for a whole month without traveling. This is really unusual for us.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it. Actually, I do. I've been working.
Yeah, we're catching up on an awful lot of stuff. But usually we're getting on another plane again. But tonight is January the 24th in the year 2014.
That sounded strange when you said it just now.
He always said, let them know the date, then they know it's definitely live, and then if they want to call in, they can. But, usually we have to get on a plane every week or so it does feel very weird. But I don't mind it. It's been cold, so I don't want to go out. Okay. Well, if anybody does want to call in tonight, I'll give out the toll-free number. It's 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And if you do call in, let's try to keep it with what the guest is talking about, the questions. Okay. We have Sherry Wild with us again. She was our guest last week. And there was a lot of more we wanted to cover, and we never had a chance. So we decided to have her back again so we could continue with the conversation. You're there, aren't you, Sherry?
I'm here, yes. Hi, Dolores.
Well, Sherry is one of our authors, and we've just published her book just a few months ago.
I don't think it's even been a month.
About a month?
Yes.
It's called The Forgotten Promise. And it's the story of Sherry's involvement with ETs all her life and what she had to go through to go from being in fear, not knowing what this was all about, until she finally got to understanding. And it shows once you understand something, it changes your whole perspective on everything. But we had some more things we wanted to cover. But Sherry, just catch up the ones who didn't hear last week. Catch them up on a little bit about you.
About me and the story of the encounters?
Correct.
In a nutshell?
Didn't hear last week. Okay.
Okay. So I have had this involvement with these beings from another dimension my entire life, starting from the time I was very, very small up until... they're still involved. I'm still having contact with them. And I did not know what was going on in my life until I was almost 40 years old. And at that point, the dots started to connect themselves. It was time for me to wake up. It was, I think, after the harmonic convergence in 1987. It was shortly after that that I became aware that there was something happening that was not normal. And certainly there had been a lot of memories and a lot of things that just were not typical. So I awakened to what was going on with me in about 88 or 89, and I fought against it tooth and toenail. I could not believe. I did not accept it. I just could never accept that something like that could happen. And so I looked for other answers other than what they were telling me. But the book details all the things that were going on in my life during that time and how I moved through the fear. I feel like I was forced to go through the fear because I couldn't live with the memories and also with what was happening on a more conscious level. The more aware I became of what was going on with me, the more conscious I was of the contact. And it was just terribly frightening for me. But once I understood what was happening, I just started to wake up to it. And eventually in about 2010, it took a long, long time. About 2010 is when I finally made the realization that I was not a victim, but that I was part of a program, that I came here purposefully to assist the planet and to help with the shift into the higher dimensions. It's time for planet Earth to make that shift. And she needed all the help she could get because humanity had fallen quite low into fear and separation. And so there are millions of us who came in to help with this process. So since learning that, it makes it a lot easier, and my contact is a lot more benign, and I welcome it and actually really enjoy my guys. They have a wicked sense of humor, and they're very loving beings, and I'm grateful to be a participant in the program.
So. See, that's what I found in my work. Fear is the strongest emotion a human has.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand something, you're naturally afraid of it.
Right.
And that's where the mind just kind of goes off in all directions about all the fear comes in, and they're afraid of everything. But
mm-hmm.
once you start understanding what it's about, then the fear goes away.
It's
shines a light on it. You can tell.
I'm getting emails now, and I'm getting people are talking to me now about their own experiences, and I feel really bad for the people who are still stuck in that place of fear. You know, they're having these experiences, and all they know is, you know, the small little part of it where they feel like they're being taken against their will. And you know, I don't know if it's still going on right now. My sense is that I don't know how much of that is happening now, but those who have had those experiences and are still agonizing about it, you know, my heart goes out to them, because you only see the very top layer of what's really happening. You don't understand that you're a participant, that you've agreed to it, you know, and that's why you're here. So I feel bad. So I'm hoping that my book can help, you know, put it in a different light and can help those people awaken a little bit more and come into the realization of what's really going on a deeper level.
That's where the title of your book comes from, isn't it, Sherry? The Forgotten Promise?
That's right, Julia. Exactly, because I did forget that. I mean, even as recent as right before the book came out, you know, I was having a hard time because having the book come out really pretty much torpedoed any chance of a normal life. You know,
yeah.
I'm really bringing myself out of the closet here, and I have a small real estate company, and it's been a struggle anyway with the recession, and I don't know yet for sure how that's going to affect my business, because you have to be a person of integrity and trustworthy, and not everybody is open to doing business maybe with someone who claims to be having these kinds of experiences. So, you know, and then plus, you know, my daughters are not happy with me for telling my story. So I almost scuttled the book and tried to back out of the whole thing and bury it all and try to live a normal life. And my guys came and paid a visit to me that night. That was in May of this last year, May of 2013. And his exact words were to me, have you forgotten the promise you made? Have you forgotten the vow you took? You know,
yeah.
You came here, you know, so, yeah, so the title of the book came from that, definitely. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, we get thousands of emails. I mean, I've lost track of how many they are, people having the same experiences. And the same way when I lecture at conferences. But there are always those few that are always saying they're afraid because they think it's bad and it's evil and because they don't understand. But I think you find out there's a lot more people out there that have had these experiences and do believe in this, but they don't want to talk about it. They just
right.
like they're afraid of what people are going to say.
Right. I agree with that, Dolores, because I'm astonished at just I'm talking to people in my own small community here who have said, you know, don't tell anybody that I said this, but, you know, I want to talk to you about, you know, my child or about when I was younger or this or that. You know, there's a lot of people walking around with these little secrets, afraid that they'll be judged as being crazy if they talk about it. And you know, I guess that I do feel like compared to other people that I've observed, I really don't care very much about what other people think about me. You know, it doesn't affect me very much. I care in the regard that I need to make a living, and, you know, I care about my business and that aspect of it. but I don't really care if people don't approve of me. It doesn't really matter to me. So in that regard, I'm pretty fearless as far as stating what is my truth, you know, because if they're not ready to hear it, that's not a problem for me. I can accept that, you know. So not everybody feels that way. I know that. There are a lot of people who, they're, what other people think of them is really everything to them. I mean, I've seen it in people who are very close to me that they need to have that kind of approval. And I don't understand it. I never have understood it. But, you know, I see it in them, so I know it's real.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, we have other authors who are going through the same thing. And one of them, and her name is Sherry also,
mm-hmm.
Sherry Cortland. I think we've published 3 of her books now.
Yeah, we're working on 4.
And she's a businesswoman, you know. She's out there in the corporate world. And she was terrified. Her book isn't UFOs, but it is metaphysics and spiritual.
Automatic riding, talking to her guides. I mean,
the same thing.
She was scared to death.
She was afraid she was going to lose her job, that they think she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally did the same thing. Just go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess her guides pushed her into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was afraid, what was the business world going to think? What was her boss going to think? But it ended up, they were very receptive.
Mm-hmm.
And she found out most of these people do have had their own psychic experience.
Right.
And just the same way, they're afraid to talk about it, don't understand it.
Yeah, well, now they're confiding in her.
Uh-huh. That's what,
right,
that's what you'll get. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you just live your truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you
mm-hmm.
can.
Well, and I think that that's happening more and more to people, because I think that's part of the awakening that's taking place on the planet. It is those of us who are willing to speak up about something that's typically not been acceptable, but it's people have to start changing their minds about what the reality is, what the truth is about this world, that this planet that they're living on, you know. And I think sometimes the only way they're going to do that is to confront them with something so totally different that it forces them to look at their own life and their own belief system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say that's why catastrophes happen, because that's
right.
A great way to shake people awake.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think that I know I teach, I have a Course in Miracles class, and sometimes I find myself saying, you know, if you've got a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and you're being confronted with a lot of challenges, you know what? Be grateful, because that's just your higher self putting these catalysts in your way so that it forces you to wake up, you know? So, you know, you're being sent a message, and be grateful. You're not going to learn anything if you just come here and just have a boring life with you know, nothing happening, nothing to challenge you. So
not why we came.
Yeah. Exactly.
Some people have what I call resting lives where nothing happens, but because what they're resting up from something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the same thing. I talk in lectures about it, that you come in with your plan, and you decide the experiences you're going to have.
Right.
It's all about lessons and experiences to learn from.
Right.
And people say, well, I don't understand that. They've had very bad things happen in their life. But I ask them, did you learn anything from it?
Mm-hmm.
If you learned one thing, then that was why you had the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So things that we think are negative really are teaching us things.
I know it. And it's hard to get to a level where we see it for the truth of what it is. We take life so seriously because we believe we're a body. You know, when you come into this dimension, you immediately start to think you're separate and that you're a body. You forget you're part of the oneness. And so you take it so seriously. So things like, you know, illness, death, loss of loved ones, those things are very, very sacred and serious to us. But from a really higher perspective, it's kind of like part of a game that we're playing to come in and roles and and it's hard. You tell people that. I mean, you have to be careful. You can't say that to somebody, right? You know?
Yeah.
But it is the truth of it. I mean, and same with being a victim. It's simply not possible to be a victim. It's just not, because nothing happens to you without your consent on some level. You agree to it, and it's just part of the dance of life that we're participating in order to experience ourselves. We're each a piece of the Creator, a part of the divine, and we're just here experiencing an experience, just for the fun of it, for the enjoyment of making our way back home, you know. So,
Well, that's what I'm always telling everybody. What I found in my work, life is nothing but an illusion.
Right.
It's just a play. It's a play. All the actors on stage playing their parts. And
right.
Julie likes the concept of a game. She talks about that in her lecture.
Yeah, I have a lecture, and it's actually called Game Board Earth.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Julia, because that's the way I always say it's like Monopoly. It's just like the game Monopoly. There's hardly any difference between this life and the game of Monopoly or the game of life, if you've ever played that game. Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, the toss of the dice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And then I wanted to compare it a little bit to the computer games, how they have the level, you know, and they have to master the level before they can move on to the next level.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Things happening to you.
Yeah, that's good because that's how it is, because you know how things will get really tough and harder, and you'll get it, and you can literally feel yourself breaking through to the next level, you know?
Absolutely.
And you can feel yourself going up that, what I think of as the ladder of life, as you go up to the vibrational, you know, raising your vibration. And as you do it, you can feel the challenges get easier and easier and easier as you learn the lessons. But then you break through, and there you are on the next level, and you're starting all over again at the bottom, and things are tough again.
Absolutely,
and
because the next level will be more challenging because that's how it's designed. You designed it that way.
exactly. But I couldn't figure out. It took me a while. I was like, okay, why? Why am I? I'll get to where it seems to be smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap, you know?
Yeah.
But it's because you're breaking through to the next little step up, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Makes it easier if you understand, you know? So, yeah, it's interesting stuff. It's an interesting game that we've set up for ourselves here. But I do agree also that it's an illusion. Being a student of the Course in Miracles, I really, really believe that because it makes perfect sense to me. And it makes it easier to be here, definitely.
Right. Well, then you realize how malleable it is.
Right. Right. And how we really are creating it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. We're creating it by our thoughts. So,
That's what Julie says when she's lecturing on her part about the game. She said, you know, if you're there's always gamers out there in the audience in the lecture. And she said, you go on and you play the same game over and over and over again. After a while, it gets boring.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to
take
you've
it. Mastered it.
Yeah,
it's definitely boring.
You've mastered that level. So you want, what do? You make it more challenging.
Well, you go on another game and it'd be a more challenging one. Everything you do is more challenging. Otherwise, it's boring if you just go do easy things.
Right.
You're not really learning anything. It's like taking kindergarten over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the next grade.
Well, and I think that my guys, they're big on that. They're big on challenging me and putting those things in front of me in order to have the whole experience of being here and learning. And it's also about energy and the balancing of energy, which used to be called karma, which my understanding is that karma is gone now, which is a good thing since we're moving into the fifth dimension. But it would be, you know, karma also. You have to balance out that energy. So
everything is energy anyway.
Well, if you believe in
the definition of karma,
what's that?
You know what it was always a balance. It's balancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called the. It's a law of
balance.
Yeah, cause and effect balance.
So Dolores, if you believe the world is an illusion, I mean, so then you believe that we're holograms, right? We're basically holograms.
Yeah, this is what they've told me. Nothing is real.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is, it is just, the whole thing is an illusion that we create, and most of the people in it aren't even real.
Exactly.
We think ourselves that we're solid.
I know.
Solid.
No, in fact, the last conference we gave, it was the one we gave in July, the last transformation conference. I went into some of the more complicated stuff, and I wasn't sure if they were ready for it or not, but it has to do with the idea that most of the people out there aren't even real that you see around you. They're just energy forms that we've created to populate our world.
Right.
We don't want to be in it all by ourselves.
I know. I mean, when you think of the idea of oneness, I mean, there is just one of us here. There's only the one. So
yeah,
we project it out, and it's a fascinating thing, but it's hard to talk about. I would have liked to have heard that lecture, because it's a very hard concept to try to put into words, because you're trying to describe something that is not of this world, doesn't fit very easily into it. Yeah, and to use the words that we have to try to describe it makes it very difficult.
That's why I took a chance, because in my last Convoluted Universe book, I got into a lot of this, and people were wanting to know more information.
Mm-hmm.
The same way with me. I started out, I've been doing this 45 years, but I started out with simple concepts, and they just kept getting more and more complicated as the years went along, and my books mm-hmm. began to change and become mm-hmm. more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
New concepts, new ideas, new theories. So mm-hmm. it shows we are constantly growing.
Right.
I look at what I was doing 30 years ago. It's totally different than what I'm doing now. I would never have understood where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be gradual, or we couldn't handle it. You can't have it all dumped on you at one time.
Exactly. Exactly. I look at my own growth that same way. I mean, who I was back in the late 1980s when I first was faced with this whole prospect of being, you know, an alien abductee, and who I am now, I'm just not even the same person, not even close to it. So it is about growth. It's about awakening. It's about remembering the truth of who you are, which is what's going on right now.
I was just thinking, when you said about, like, when you were back then, so I put myself back, like, at that time frame then, and I was thinking, too, there was a lot of fear in general, I think, going on then.
Yes. Yes.
In the 80s is when they asked me to become a UFO investigator. And I was stumbling around in the dark because very few people were doing this. And everything was new and different. And there was a lot of fear associated mm-hmm. with it. So I can see where I started out then and how I've gradually got my beliefs changed.
Mm-hmm.
Written mm-hmm. four books on UFOs, and each one has gotten more and more advanced, I guess you would say,
mm-hmm.
as we got more information. So at the 80s, I think there was something going on there.
You mentioned the harmonic convergence, and I really don't know a lot about that. I've heard some about it, something to do with alignments and things. You probably know a lot about it since you mentioned it.
Well, I don't know a lot. I only know that it impacted me amazing, almost more than the 2012 date, you know. So for me, I remember the date, even though I didn't know that that's what was happening. I remember that date in August, taking time off from work and spending it outside, climbing up on the hill behind my house, and I had an opening. I had something happen to me, and I'm assuming that it was on the dates of the harmonic convergence. It was sometime in mid August of that year, and something definitely happened to me up there, and
what year
everything
was
changed.
It? 1987.
Uh-huh.
See, that was the end of the 80s is when everything shifted for me, and I began to get in this different kind of work. Something mm-hmm. was happening in the 80s.
It was that influx of light. I mean, that's when it was, humanity wasn't going to make it in time for the 2012 portal, the opening for us to shift into the higher dimensions. And my guys told me that. They said, you know, we're going to teach you to be a light reader, you know, because there's going to be some on the planet who are going to be ready to move on. But for the most part, it doesn't look like humanity is going to make it, unfortunately. If enough people get of a high enough vibration, it will have the effect of pulling everyone up. But right now, you're falling way short. But the harmonic convergence was just part of the whole plan, the grand plan. It shed, you know, just put tons of light onto the planet and awakened a lot of us, including those of us who came here as volunteers, myself and all the many others, those who were ready to awaken and kind of go to work for the reason we came here. That's what I feel like. I feel like that's when I got my marching orders. It's like my whole life changed. And, you know, it's like before that I got to just be a human, you know, a normal human.
Exactly. You got to deal with all the drama, all the other stuff.
Yeah, that's why I ended up writing the book, The Three Waves of Volunteers, because mm-hmm. I was getting all this information. And they're here to help. their energy to help raise the vibrations and frequencies of the earth. And they have very specific jobs, and a lot of them had no idea.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot of people's lives when they finalized it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was a relief to me, Dolores. You have no idea what a relief it was to me to find out that that the information I was getting, and I got it when I was out on a walk out in the desert. I'd been asking, why do I have so much activity, and is this real, and what is this about? And I went on this walk, and it just, they download stuff, and they do it in the weirdest way, but I got that download of information that I had signed up, and I could remember it. And I do now. I remember volunteering to come here. I remember I don't know how you'd put it, there aren't words for it, but there was this impulse of knowing this, that planet Gaia needed assistance, and that, you know, there was this call for volunteers. And I remember responding to it. I remember that I did that. And but when I first had that thought, I started immediately to doubt it. And I was like, who do you think you are? You know, I'm here to save the planet. You know, where in the world, you know, you and, you know, that's just ego, and let go of that. But it wouldn't go away. And then when I saw your video almost immediately, I would like to know, it's probably that afternoon, but it was within days I saw that video where you talked about the volunteers. And I just sat there and cried and cried and cried, because it was such a relief, because it meant I could trust the information I was being given. And it meant I wasn't alone, and that I wasn't, you know, that there was a purpose, that there was a reason for all this huge eruption in my life and disruption in my life, and it had a higher meaning, you know? So it was awesome.
Yes. We get literally thousands of emails from people who they're saying, I realize now I'm a volunteer, I'm a first wave, second wave. They know it because they realize what happened. And when I'm doing my sessions, a lot of times they are at these meetings when they're asking for volunteers. And one woman, after, when she said, I stupidly raised my hand when they asked for volunteers.
She said,
now that I look back on it, what was I thinking?
I know, but, you know, that's what we do. I mean, that's our role. I mean, at least that's for me. I mean, it isn't like I was living on another planet and having this wonderful life. You know, I mean, that's basically what my role is, as a child of God, you know, is to go where that kind of work and that kind of influence is needed. It's true, though, that I underestimated what it was going to be like to be here. I do think that I might have not, you know.
In the sessions I have with people, sometimes right before they come in, they're warned, the guides over there will warn them, are you sure you want to go? Now, you really want to go? You don't really know what you're getting into.
I know.
And they're given a chance to back out if they want to.
It's very hard, you know, because there's a big answer here. But first of all, you're aware, there's enough of you, at least right now, I remember unity consciousness. I remember what it's like to be in awareness of my oneness. And it's a wonderful, wonderful state to be in. And so it's very hard to be cut off from that. It's hard, and it's harsh here. But what it does is it teaches you just how badly you are needed here, too, because the poor souls who have been trapped here for millions of years, caught in this cycle of rebirth and death, you know, I can see how it's just terrible, because I've only been here this one time, and I fell into the whole idea of, I never bought into it a lot, but, you know, you start to believe you're a body, and you start to get caught up in the whole trappings and the illusions of the world. And so you forget your connection to Source. And it's a terrible, lonely place to be, just terrible. So I can't imagine having lifetime after lifetime here. And so
That's what I found. In my work, they said the Earth is very unique. It's the only planet in the universe that does a whole lot of things. That's why we're very unique. It's very difficult to live here. It's the most difficult planet in the universe to live on. That was one thing they said that is different about us, is that we forget when we come to Earth.
Right. Right.
They don't. The ETs don't. They said, we remember our plan. We remember our contract.
Right.
We don't.
Yeah.
But it's all part of it. I asked them one time in a session, why do we forget? Wouldn't it be easier if we could remember and we could remember our contracts with everybody? They said, no, it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers.
Right. And
we have
and plus,
to stumble
yeah.
our way back all mm-hmm. by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had to be done that way in order it was to try to balance out the energy. Because it was to try to every time you came in, it was like, okay, last lifetime you wronged me, so this lifetime I'm going to forgive you, and you're going to forgive me, and we're going to learn about love. Only it never happened, you know, because what would happen is the energy would need to balance out. And so in this lifetime, then I'm going to wrong you and try to balance that energy, but because there's not that awareness of the truth of who we are. And it was done purposefully, you know, because when humans fell into fear so long ago, only through no fault of their own. I mean, it happened through, you know, some decisions that were made by humanity, and they fell so far into fear, their light almost went out. And it's part of what I'm going to talk about. I think that's what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what I'm going to talk about until I get up on the stage, because it's given to me and downloaded as I speak, but I believe what I'll be talking about at the conference. What's that?
That's what the idea is, to start. You forget your connection with God. You forget mm-hmm. why you came. You mm-hmm. forget the game. You forget all of that.
Yeah.
So they said we have to stumble our way back all by ourselves and remember, you know, find our mm-hmm. way back to God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder, but that's a great challenge, and you learn a great deal.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
Right, exactly. But that's why you're here, Dolores, and you're here, Julia, and why I'm here. You know, I think we're all volunteers on some level. Most of the people on the planet are, we're all here for the purpose of awakening, but some of us are here more specifically to be a catalyst for others to try to challenge them to think outside the box, think a little bit differently, to question who am I and is that really what I believe. I'm hearing this lady talk about ETs and this and that and the other thing, and you know, and it challenges them to look at their own belief system. And that's, I don't care if people believe me or not, I just want to challenge them to look at what they do believe and not just believe what they've been told to believe, you know. So that's what's going on now. That's why there's so many of us now coming out and talking about this stuff.
That's why I want you to realize you're not alone out there, because we know from the volume of mail that I've been getting for many years that there's tons of people who believe
mm-hmm.
these.
Mm-hmm.
They want to fit in, so they're afraid to say what they believe.
Well, they're just looking, well, that's why you're doing this. I mean, they're looking for way showers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To help them, you know, just shine the way, be the light.
Right. It will get to the point where it'll be accepted. A lot of people say, well, if it's true, then why don't you have pictures, or why don't you, you know, bring me some proof, pick up something when you're on the ship and bring it back with you, all these kinds of things. And it's not like that, you know. It's not like that. That's not the purpose. And that's making it into a game. Like what Da told me once when I asked him if he would show himself to yet another person, because I get a lot of people, I want to meet him, and I've requested it, and he's been kind enough to do that enough times that I think, you know, I'm surprised at how many times he's done it. But when I asked one time, he said, I have it on my blog, but I think his response was, do you think I am nothing more than a circus act that you can parade out to show off to your friends or something like that? You know, and I had to laugh at that because it, you know, that's not what it's about, is proving that they exist. You know, it's having the belief system and acknowledging they'll show up once we believe in them. They're not going to show up to prove to us that they are real. That's doing it backwards.
Oh, that's the thing. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
Well, that's something that they've been saying to me for several years now, as far as the change and the shift and everything. They said, you will see it when you believe it. So it's interesting that you just said that, because that seems to be a key phrase right now.
Right.
Just start
right.
believing, and you'll see some of these things you keep asking for.
Absolutely, Julia, because go back to what we were talking about before, how this is a world of projection and perception. You know, we decide what we're going to see, and we project it out, and we see it, and that reinforces our perception and our belief in it. And, yeah.
I'm always saying in the lectures, too, there's no amount of proof will ever convince a true skeptic. And that a believer doesn't need any proof.
Exactly.
But there was some book out there, I don't remember who wrote it, where the woman was on the ship, and they were showing her a book. And it was a small book, had a lot of their writing in it and everything, and she really liked it. She asked them, can I take it with me? And the one said, yes, you can. And she's getting ready to go off the ship, and this other one, I guess a higher up, said, what are you doing? And she said, well, he said I could take it. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. So they took it away from her. And she said she remembers when she woke up, they took my book. I want my book.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if that would have made it into this dimension, because if her guys are like my guys, they're on a different level of vibration, and that exists in that vibration. But I'm wondering if it would even you know, come down into this vibration. I don't know.
Not all like, another dimension. Some of it is solid.
Yeah, it is. They're solid, but they're solid in that frequency. You know, the same reason they can take me through walls, and they take my body, physical body, through, you know, they've many times taken me through walls and through my car.
Yeah.
And I asked them how they do that, and they said, you know, we're of this frequency and you're of this frequency down here. Your physical body is, so we bring your physical body up here and we come down to here, and this is just an illusion. It's not a real solid wall anyway, and you know, and that's how it works. So,
silly person.
There's a lot more to it, but I don't want to go into it. I do it in my lectures. But, Julie, last week you were wanting to go in on what did the ETs tell her about the shift.
Yes, that's what I was hoping we could get to that and don't run out of time again. You said that's your favorite part to talk about, so I would love to hear what
they told you was going to happen.
That is my favorite part because, to me, that's the whole purpose of everything. It's everything. There's never been a time like this ever on planet Earth, or perhaps in our solar system. And so planet Earth is finally out of quarantine and is finally moving along with the rest of our system into the fifth dimension. And it took a lot of love and a lot of light from the powers that be, the heavens, to bring this about. And there was a lot of love that brought this about, and a lot of planning, and it's why we're all here. Every single soul on this planet is here to experience this, and it's a huge thing, and it's amazing to me. I'd like to know. I guess I don't need to know, but I sometimes wonder as I go out into the matrix. I don't like to leave my home, but when I do, I have to go out into the world, and because it's sometimes a painful place to be, but I look around and it's so easy to get caught up in the illusion, and I wonder how many people are even aware of this amazing thing that's happening right now. And I don't know if it's 5%, 10%, or 20%, or if it's more, but we are going through the shift of the ages. We are going into the golden age of peace and love on the planet Earth. We are going from a dualistic, a dual-minded consciousness to unity consciousness, recognizing that we are one with our Creator. We will not live in a world of fear or pain or a state of separation. We will lose that feeling of homesickness that we all have because we miss our connection to our Father, Mother God. And so it's an amazing time on planet Earth, but as we move through it, it's like a birthing process, and it's painful because the old has to fall away, and we on this planet, we cling to the things that we think give us peace. We believe that our peace comes from having a fat bank account and a nice home and a job that we like or whatever, you know, all those labels. And so when we see those things start to fall away, we go into panic and try to hold them together. But fall away they must, you know, because we are going to be living a totally different kind of life. So I'm very excited about it. As far as what my guys told me, I mean, it's been everything from the very beginning. You know, the three important things that they taught me, which are outlined in my book, and are part of the groundwork for that. But what they told me back in 88, 89 was that humanity, right now on planet Earth, there were humans who, they said it's all about vibration, and that there were some on the planet who were of a higher vibration and wanted to live in peace and knew the truth of who they were and were ready to move on to the next higher level. And that there were those on the planet who still believed in war and conflict and in domination over others. And they said, there's no judgment in this. There's no judgment. It just is what it is. But those who want war should not be allowed to force that upon those who want to live in peace. And the planet is too small. You know, we can't share the same time space. And what they did is they showed me a magnet, two magnets actually, and they said, see how the two ends of the magnet cannot share the same time space. They said, you know, you've got they repel each other because they can't, positive and the negative cannot live together. And what's happened on planet Earth is there's been a split. So those who want to move on to the higher frequencies will do that because Gaia, Mother Earth, had decided she was going into the fifth dimension. She was not going to hold back her ascension any longer. She'd already done that more than a few times, and she wasn't going to do it again. And so those who were ready to move into the higher frequencies would go with her, and those who wanted to still had more lessons to learn and wanted to stay in that lower frequency would be allowed to do that and would continue on their journey, but they would be taken to another planet where they would continue on their journey. Well, that caused me a tremendous amount of fear. And I asked about my children, of course, and my family and my loved ones, and how could they do this, and how could God allow this? And, you know, they were going to be splitting up, you know, family. I mean, I just couldn't believe that that was real. But they
lecture.
Yeah, they assured me that this is the way it was going to be. And at that point, and it took me a long time to sort through this, but at that point, that's the way it was. And I guess for a while, there was a second Earth where it was going to be done exactly like this. And because there was such a small minority of people who were going to go to, you know, with planet Earth into the higher frequencies, and the rest would stay in the three-dimensional world. But what happened was, what I've been told, and I'm not sure myself if I'm 100, because last time I talked to them about it, they said that there's going to be a lot of chaos, there's going to be a lot of pain, and we certainly are seeing that now, and it's going to get probably a little, you know, tough before it gets better. But they said that, you know, I did do the light reading. They taught me to be a light reader, and they said that we did go out, and every soul on the planet was assisted with making the decision if they were ready to go into the fifth dimension or if they should stay in the third dimensional. You know, it's all based on frequency. It's not really even a decision, but they said that there were those who were close to the mark who did have, you know, they could go either way, and so those were the ones we assisted. The others, it was just clear cut. If you're not ready to go in the fifth dimension, you're just not ready. It's not going to happen. Now, I've heard some teachers are saying that we've reached critical mass and that has the effect of pulling all into the higher frequencies, and I'm hoping that that's true. I'm not sure if that's the way that it is going to be or not. I hope that it is, but sometimes when I look around me, I think there's a lot of waking up to be done. I don't know. You know, but it is all in divine order. You know, it doesn't matter which way it goes. It's all under the guidance of our Father, Mother, God. So it's perfect, I'm sure. So those who are ready to go with Mother Earth into the fifth dimension, that's where we're headed. That's why we're experiencing all this chaos on planet Earth, and that's why everything is being held up to the light, and anything that is not of the light is going to crumble. So we're looking at governments and monetary systems, businesses, you know, everything.
See, everything you're saying is exactly what I say in my lectures. It's all true, because then we wouldn't all be getting the same information if it wasn't.
Well, it's right there in front of us, don't you think?
About splitting into two Earths, that's what I kept getting, and I kept trying to explain that it, the moving into another dimension, it is actually like the Earth splitting in two.
Mm-hmm. So is that what you, do you think that that's, we're still going to do that? There's still going to be this splitting apart?
It's already done. It's happened.
Uh-huh.
That's what people have been saying. When's it going to happen? Then they said it's already happened.
Right.
But you were asking about the families. I get that question at every lecture. What about my kids? What about my husband and my wife? And we always say it's up to them. Everyone chooses which path they're going to go. You never know what someone's plan is, and it's always about individual choices, what they choose, which direction they're going to go.
Right.
And I tell them it does have everything to do with vibrations and frequencies.
Right.
And they said even if you wanted to stay, once that vibration shifts, you have no choice, because
right.
you will go with the vibration that you're compatible with.
Right. Right,
so
and that's why, and that's what I'm getting too, is that it's all, I mean, and it's very detail oriented. I mean, your vibration, if you can move your vibration, just the higher you can go, the better it will be when the time comes for this split.
When
I've asked for
more information, sometimes they will say, we can't answer all your questions because we don't know.
Right.
This is the first time in the history of a universe that an entire planet is going to move into another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we don't really know what's going to happen. It depends on the people.
Right, our collective.
Terry?
What's that?
Do you get that the same kind of information like that? Like, this is the first time, have they told you that?
First time it's ever happened?
Yeah, as far as, they're attempting to do this big shift. That's why there's so much assistance here, and that's why there's been all this attention from all these other galactic families. You know, we've got from all the different worlds out there are here giving assistance. And, but because what we're doing is the light that's coming out of the planet now is activating our pineal gland, and so it's opening up us to the way we were originally created to be. Humans on this Earth were originally created with a 12-strand light.
Yeah.
And that was shut down to like this double helix thing. I won't pretend to understand it, but it basically they were really shut down. So that's all opening up now so that we can be as we were originally created to be. And so we will have that awareness of our connection to Source and our connection to one another. So if that happens, then in that regard, it would seem that everyone on the planet would benefit, and you know, maybe all will move into the fifth dimension. That would be a beautiful thing. But it is all in divine order, and you will go according to your vibration. That much I learned because they taught me that, because they taught me to be a light reader, and everybody's light is different.
You're getting the same information that I've been getting and that I've been writing about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like, because it's valid if we're all getting the same information. But you said you thought there was only a small percentage
that
thought we were actually going to move. But, you know, but we, I don't know, maybe it's because we have more access to the metaphysical community. We speak at all these conferences. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bigger percentage.
Oh, yeah, now it is. Back in 88, 89, when they talked to me about it, they said it's not looking like you're gonna. I mean, he's put it in those terms. It's not looking like you're gonna make it, is how he said.
Back then I can see.
Yeah, it's been a miracle. I mean, it really has been a miracle. That's why it's so interesting to me that, and sad to me that there's so many people who don't even, they're not aware of this. You know, I wish everyone could hear the story of Earth humans and what they've gone through on this planet, because someday it will come out. But if they knew just how unique and amazing they are to have persevered through this dark time on this planet and to now be being ushered into the light, I mean, they have no idea what's in store for them. I mean, I think that it would help a lot of people to, you know, to just feel more positive about things, because it's pretty tough right now, you know? And
yeah,
if they don't know that,
you know, they have been working on the DNA of everyone on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So the children are coming in with the DNA is already in place, but the rest of us had to have the DNA activated and escalated.
Right. Yeah,
so
that
they've
raising.
Been that for a while.
Right. Right. They did that with me. They said they were doing it early so that I could be of assistance to those, so that I wouldn't be held back by that. So they did that. Yes, they activated those of us who came as volunteers and were ready to assist. They did that sooner with us.
They did say, though, that we have reached critical mass,
mm-hmm.
and there are hundreds of thousands of volunteers on the Earth now, and they said now they have confidence we will do it. We will
mm-hmm.
save the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's, I know.
You know, it was interesting. Where was he, in China? You know, I've been giving classes in China, Japan, Taiwan, and in one of those, they were just doing their practice sessions, and they came in. And they contact this part that I speak to. It's different than the part you speak to. And they were telling, they said, go back and tell the whole class, it's very important that you get at least, they said, 8-9 hours sleep every night.
Oh. In
China?
Japan.
Japan? Okay. Because
yes.
They said it's very important to tell them they must get 8 or 9 hours sleep every night, because that's when they're working on the DNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they used to do it at night anyways. A lot goes on at night, people don't realize.
Oh, I know.
But said that's when they're working on the DNA, so it's very important to get a good night's sleep so they can work on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he said, well, what about naps during the day? And they said, no, that's not the same thing. It has to be a good, deep sleep.
It has to be mm-hmm. solid.
Then they can work on it. So they are doing a lot, but they said we have reached critical mass, and mm-hmm. they are confident now we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have to do it. I mean, they were here to assist, because we asked for assistance. The planet asked for assistance, but it's an individual thing. We're not just sitting here taking a free ride. We do have to have the responsibility to work on our own awareness and our own remembering process, and to make that conscious decision to awaken. So, yeah.
You keep calling yourself a light reader, Sherry. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
It's something that they taught me back in 88. And they said that they taught me how to do that so that when the time came, when the shift occurred, that I would be one of many who would assist. On every soul on the planet was going to have their light read, their so that there would be this time when all would, you kind of like form a line. You know, if you're going to go to the third dimension, stay in the third dimension, you go over here. If you're going to go to the fifth, I don't know. It was just so
all
they taught me.
Turned on.
Huh? So they taught me to read, and you read their light. You read a person's light by looking into their eyes. And their level of light shows
yes.
in their eyes. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I can't just do it now. I can kind of remember what it was like, but when they had me doing my practice sessions, they had me do it for one half days in a row, and it came out. What happened was, you know, some people came into my office, and I heard myself say inside my head, I heard, you will be staying. And then I met the other person, I looked at him, and I heard, you will be staying. And all day long it was, you will be going, you will be staying, you will be going. You know, so the denser, lower frequency beings that I encountered
mm-hmm.
were going to be going, which didn't make sense to me. I remember I was very confused by that, because it seemed to me that those who would be going would be the lucky ones, because I figured the planet Earth was going to go through all this shifting and changing, and I had been shown her destruction. You know, from the time I was very young, I showed, because back in the 50s, that was our timeline. Back in the 50s, when they showed me her destruction, that was the timeline we were on, because that's the course of action. At that time, that's where we were headed. Planet Earth was going to just, you know, go up in a ball.
That's my first books were all about.
Mm-hmm.
About destruction and everything. And they kept saying, we have changed the timeline. We're on a different timeline now.
Mm-hmm. We do. And that's why we can awaken right now. That's what you said before. Just you want it now, just change your thoughts, change your ideas, and you'll see it. Yeah.
And, you know, you can't make anyone go or stay because it does have to do with their vibration and frequency.
Right.
They can raise that, especially by getting into the love and what God's all about. They can raise their vibration and frequency.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know why I did that. I participated in that light reading. I think it was in November, November 9th of 2010, I want to say, or somewhere in through there. And so it was done prior to the 2012, and I think that it was done so that the souls that were close to, they knew what their choice was, and they still had time to change that if they wanted to raise their vibration, if they wanted to try to go, you know, race for the finish line and make it so they could come into the fifth, because this is like a portal. The way I understand it is, it's a physical opening of what's happening on a spiritual level. You know, that this physical alignment of the suns and the planets are happening, which is going to allow for this to happen at this time.
Sherry, we're coming to the top of the hour. We have to sign off. Tell them, the people out there, how they can contact you if they want to write you about their experiences or about wanting to get your book. Tell them how they can contact you.
Okay. I have a website for my book. The book is called The Forgotten Promise. So my website is www.theforgottenpromise.net.
.net.
And so they can email me through that, and they can get the book there. And the book is available on Amazon or from me or from you. So I don't know if it's in Barnes & Noble or any other places yet.
It's everywhere.
It'll be working its way there.
Right now it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. But also we are having the 27th UFO conference, and he's pulling the plug, I think.
Yeah, okay.
The 27th UFO conference here in Arkansas in Eureka Springs, and Sherry will be one of our speakers. We'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come. Okay, so we're going to have to sign off. Thanks, Sherry, for coming on again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Julia. Nice talking with you.
Talking with you. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for listening in tonight.